Blog Talk Radio.
Worried about
all the wars that are happening and things like that. So what we have to be concerned with is what we're doing. You can't control the things that men do, that the world does. It is all in Yah's hands, but he tells us what we must do. But we want to look at this day so we know what to expect. And we don't know the exact time of when it will come. We know signs, but we don't know the exact time. Okay, and so we want to always be ready. That's why he says you have to always be ready. Even if you go to your grave before it happens, at least you went to your grave ready. In a position that when Yah raises you, that you are able to enter into his kingdom in peace with him. And so for those that are on the earth, it is not going to be a good time during this. And so we have to be vigilant and we have to be ready always. Mankind, you know, first Antichrist is going to do some things. Through mankind, and then before all flesh is destroyed, then Yah will come and he will do his thing, okay? So we need to understand, I just want to deal specifically with the day of Yah. And the day of Yah is not a single day. It's not a singular day, okay? It is a time that he has appointed, that he's going to take out his wrath on this earth, clean it up. And so before we get into that, I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the Internet in general, wherever you may be in the world, whether it's North America or South America, whether it's the African continent, the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, the Communist Bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus of Christ in the English. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads, as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm a royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this day, on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. We just bow down and we give you glory, honor, and praise on this morning. We magnify your name, for you are truly worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. You and you alone, O Yah Elohim, you and you alone are worthy. Are worthy to receive glory, honor, and praise. Father, so we give it to you on this morning, and we honor you in this your day. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you're going to do. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread, and to worship you in this your day, your holy day, your Sabbath. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and we have done wickedly. And, Father, we are repenting of our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might awaken them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love for your love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and obey your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on today, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Our scripture for this morning, 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 46 through 53. 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 46 through 53. If they sin against me, and I'm going to personalize this because it just means more to me when I personalize it. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee, in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, and we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our hearts and all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. Forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carry us captive, saying that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou brought us forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. For the Most High, a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
go. And what else would I do if I did not know you?
I'm going to ask you to mute your mic because we're getting background sound from you. And if you don't know how, then I can mute your mic from here. Okay, let me just turn your volume down then. All right. Let's continue. So everybody, the world, and each individual is in the valley of decision. Will you turn to Yah, and will you worship him with your whole heart and all that you are, or are you going to continue in the ways of the world? Okay. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17. And I want to start in verse 24. Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 24. Elohim that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord or master of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. We know that the Most High wants to dwell in us, temple, where he dwells at. He don't dwell in temples made with hands. He dwells in the temple that he built from the very beginning, man. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things, and hath made one blood of all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Now, I didn't get the scripture, but understand that the boundaries of men and the nations are determined by the seed of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, so he determined that based upon his priesthood, how many would be in each nation and how many would be redeemed, that they should seek Yah, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Now, this verse applies. Not all mankind is the offspring of the Most High. Not every man, woman, and child, because they are human, are the offspring of the Most High. That's why he says you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Must have his Spirit to be his child, be his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of Elohim, we ought not to think that the Elohim head or the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device. The Godhead is not something that is designed by men. You can't, make a statue of silver or gold or stone or carve it out of something of wood by art. If we are the image, then we got to know that we weren't made that way. And neither is Elohim. And at the time of this ignorance, Elohim winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Stop thinking this way. Stop thinking in a worldly way concerning him. You got to get his way, his mind, his understanding. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. Now we know that this is speaking of Messiah. And there's going to be a day that the Most High has appointed. He has already chosen the day. He has not revealed it. That he's going to judge the whole world. So man, people are looking and saying, why is the Most High allowing these things to go on? Why are we not punished right away when we sin? Because the Most High said, I did that to teach my children Israel. When they would sin, I would bring judgment on them, and thousands of them would die at a time, in a moment. They rebel, tens of thousands would die, 2,000 or 3,000. But now, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this for the whole world. I've appointed a day. That day that he has appointed is known in the scriptures as the day of Yah, or in your English Bible, the day of the Lord. The day of Yah, okay? I've appointed a day in which I will judge the world in righteousness, okay? So this is what we want to talk about this morning. The day that he's going to judge the whole world. By Yeshua HaMashiach. This is what he's going to do when he returns. You know, people are looking for his return. And if you are in good standing with him, you can look for his return with joy. But it's not a day that you should wish for. Because it's not going to be a good day. Go to Joel chapter 2. The book of Joel chapter 2. Book of Joel, chapter 2, and verse 31 is our reference point here. I may want to get a few more with that. Starting verse 28, Joel chapter 2, starting in verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. This is Yah talking. I will pour out of my spirit, not a spirit, not some other spirit, not another, not a holy angel, because they are holy spirits as well. But the Most High says we have to become his children. Okay, and he does that by pouring out his spirit upon us. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens, and in the earth blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Now, the Most High is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, those who qualify, those he chooses. And then he's telling you when this is going to end. When we start seeing the wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of Yah come. So he's going to pour out his spirit upon flesh and be making children to enter into his kingdom until the day of Yah comes. Right before that, he's going to stop. Okay? And so while men can, the Most High is making a way for people to repent and turn to him and become his child, his obedient child, because the Most High doesn't do disobedient children. He doesn't do them. Okay? Once we know what we're doing, the Most High says, then I will have no mercy on you. As long as you are doing it ignorantly, I will have mercy on you. But as long, when you know better, then I won't have mercy upon you because you are being willfully disobedient. So when we become his children, when we understand that the Most High has elevated us to be his children by choosing us and filling us with his spirit, that should be enough to make you stop sinning. That should be enough to make you want to be obedient to him. So when we start seeing these signs, then we know that the time is near. And that he may be removing himself from the earth and making children. Taking the chance for men to repent away. Because then judgment is going to come. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of Yah shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be delivered, as Yah has said, and the remnant whom Yah shall call. The remnant is the remainder. That's who he's going to call. Okay? Let's go to Amos chapter 5. The book of Amos chapter 5. And we're going to get verses 18 through 20. Amos chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. And the word of the Most High reads, "Woe unto you that desire the day of Yah. To what end is it for you? If you are not walking right before him, you don't want this day. You don't know where you stand with the Most High. Even if you are doing everything, you might have done something that offends. So this is not a day that you should desire. It is a day, the day of Yah is darkness and not light. This is not going to be a good thing when he returns. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. So you running from a lion and you run into a bear. You running from some destruction. Maybe it's falling hail. You run into a cave and it's a den of lions in there. And you're the only human." He said it is like you can't escape, okay? "Or went into a house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him." Now, you in your house, you ain't thinking that no serpent is in there, no snake. But Yah wants to punish you. He wants to kill you. This is what he's coming back for. He says you can't escape. You go into the house thinking you're safe. You put your hand on the wall and a snake bites you. So it's not a day that you can escape, and it's not a day that you should desire. Don't think that you are safe. You won't know that you're safe until Yah passes by you. Okay? You won't know. None of us. "Shall not the day of Yah be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it?" So he's saying this is going to be a time of just great evil that he's going to bring on the world, on the unworthy, on the unrighteous, on the sinners. And we ourselves can't call ourselves, you know, say that we can escape this day, because we don't know if we've done something that has offended the Most High. So he says, you won't know until I pass by, and I think I'll find that verse. You won't know. The world won't know. So we are to fear this time. We shouldn't be looking forward to it. We want him to come back. We want him to put an end to this system. But this is not a day that we should desire. It's going to be a lot of death in this day. Okay. Now look and see what Yah says in verse 21. "I hate, I despise your feast days. And I will not smell in your solemn assembly. When we mix the world with Yah, and we are celebrating Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, when we are in sin and we celebrate his feast day, he does not like it. That smell that comes up before him, our praise, he said it's stink. Why? Because it is mixed with sin. I hate it. And your solemn assembly, and you're still out here being worldly, doing everything that the world is doing and following after the path of the world, and then come before me as though you have a right to come before me. He says, I hate it. That's why the children of the Most High must be walking right before him. Must be. Can't be doing what the world does. If you're doing what the world is doing, if you're doing what the masses are doing, 9 times out of 10, you are going to be one of those that is going to fall in the day of Yah. you're going to see his wrath. That's why he says, many are called, but few are chosen. You want to be in the few before this day comes. You want to be in the straight gate, not leaning to the right or to the left, looking straight forward to Yah and to salvation. You want to be in that straight gate. So the day of Yah is darkness. It is not light. It is not no joy in that day, in that time. Let's go to the book of Zephaniah. And I'm going to read all of the book of Zephaniah because I want you to see that there was a day of Yah that came on Israel, and then there's a future day of Yah to come. And he's going to be the same because it's to destroy wickedness in the earth. So let's go to the book of Zephaniah. We're going to start in, there's three chapters to this book. We're going to read all three. And I want you to pay attention to what Yah is saying. The word of Yah which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hizkiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith Yah. I will consume man and beast of heaven, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith Yah. Now he's talking about the land of Israel at this point. And in the future, and I'm still looking for this verse, but I'll find it. He says he's going to have to raise, R-A-Z-E, the land of Israel by fire to clean it. Okay? I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal. I tell you, the Most High, Israel has constantly, in history, worshipped what we call the Lord, Baal. And that's why I said it's an evil that they changed his name, translated his name to the Lord in the New Testament, which translates, when you translate it back to Hebrew, is Baal. That's why it's important that we call him by his name. But I will cut off the remnant of Baal from the place in the name of the Tamarines with the priest. His own priests are leading people astray. And they that worship the host of heaven, worship the stars, the moon, and the planet upon the housetops, and them that worship and that wear by and that swear by Yah and that swear by Malcham. Now, I've not looked up this name, Malcham, to know who that is. I think I'll do that this afternoon. Look up that name. And them that are turned back from Yah, started off with Yah and turned away. Yah, I can't do this. Yah, the price is too high. You want my all. I got other responsibilities, more or less, to what people be saying. I need to take care of my house and my wife and my kids and my job and all this, but they don't put it in perspective and they don't put the Most High first. I got to be number one in your life. I got to be the most precious being in your life. Achieving my kingdom has to be the most valuable thing to you. If you love mother, father, sister, daughter, husband, wife, grandmama, granddaddy, anybody, even yourself more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. And so we have to, those people turn from him. They start off with him. Sounds good. Oh, I can't pay that price though. I'm not willing to do all that. But he says, if you want to be with him, you got to be willing to do all this. You got to be willing to give him your all. Those that have not sought Yah, nor inquired for him, hold thy peace at the presence of Yah Elohim. For the day of Yah is at hand. Time for complaining or begging is over. For Yah has prepared a sacrifice. Guess who the sacrifice is going to be? The sinner. He has bid his guest. And it shall come to pass in the day of Yah's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Men dressing like women and women dressing like men. And it probably goes even deeper than that because most times they say don't be mixing fabric. Don't be wearing two different types of fabric. These things are strange to him. But definitely, you know, no man should be dressing like a woman and no woman should be dressing like a man. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. So the Most High says, if I put you in captivity, if I put you in the role of a servant, I want you to be that servant as unto me. See, this is where Israel messed up, even in captivity. The master was mistreating the slaves, but the slaves were also doing mischief. And the Most High says, no matter where I put you, and if I put you there for punishment, it's to teach you a lesson. I don't want you then creating mischief. And if I gave you to a quote-unquote saved master, then his acts towards you won't be that way. But we know that people don't operate in that way. But we're not responsible for other people. We're responsible for ourselves and how we act and what we do. Everything else you got to leave in the hands of the Most High. Because he says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. You do what I tell you to do. Somebody mistreats you. Somebody does something to harm you. I will repay them. You just stay humble to me. 10. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yah, that there shall be a noise of a cry from the fish gate and an howling from the second and a great crashing from the hills. Now he's talking about Israel at this point. But this prophecy, we got to pay attention to what he's saying to Israel because the same things and the same attitude toward Israel is going to turn toward the world. How, you inhabitants of Mekhesh, for all the merchant people are cut down. All they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their leave. They are set back, they're comfortable, and they don't believe. And they're saying, they say in their heart, Yah will not do good, neither will he do evil. Yah ain't going to do nothing. This is all just man's writing. What is written is not true. And they are fat, dumb, and happy. Okay? Therefore, their good shall become a booty. Their good shall become the spoils of war. That's what booty is. The spoils of war. And their houses are desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of Yah is near. It is near in haste, greatly. It hurries up quickly, greatly. Even the voice of the day of Yah, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. The day is a day of wrath. It's a dark day. I'm going to pour out my wrath, in this case, at this point, on Israel and on Judah. A day of trouble and distress. A day of wastedness and desolation. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced city and against the high towers. You're going to be up under attack. It's going to be coming from all directions. And it is brought on by Yah himself. And I will bring distress upon men. that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against Yah. See, the world, Israel, we're going to talk about Israel right now, wasn't keeping the commandments of the Most High. They were doing what they wanted to do. They wouldn't keep his judgment. And even Israel today, my Hebrew brothers and sisters, we say we'll keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, but we won't keep his judgment. We have to do it all. So it's coming because of what? Sin against Yah. Y'all think that y'all were just going to be able to do that and get away with it? I've appointed a day. So he's coming against Israel at this point. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung, as doo-doo, as waste. Disgusting. Unclean. Uncared for. You get rid of waste. And this is what the Most High is saying. I'm going to pour out your blood as dust, dried up, and your flesh as dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them. Can't buy your way out of this. In the day of Yah's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make every speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. So when he is coming with Israel, he said, your destruction is going to come quickly. And I'm not really caring about you, those that are disobedient. I'm going to pour out your blood like dust. Just pour it out and dry up. Nothing to me. In it is the life. That life is dried up, done away with. And your flesh, it ain't holy to me. It ain't clean before me. You doing any and everything that you want to do, I'm going to get rid of it like it's doo-doo. It's dumb. You won't be able to buy your way out of this. But the whole land shall be devoured by fire and of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of them that dwell in the land. Chapter 2. Gather yourselves together. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation, not desired. I don't want you. I don't desire you to be my people because you have turned against me. You have not kept my ways. You have not kept my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my ordinances. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass, as the chaff, before the fierce anger of Yah come upon you, before the day of Yah's anger come upon you. He always gives a chance to repent. Seek ye Yah, all you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment or earned his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be that you shall be hid in the day of Yah's anger. If you repent and seek him out, he might not come looking for you. He might not send the angels to gather you with the wicked because you truly repented. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Cherealites. The word of Yah is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy you, that there shall be no inhabitant. As the seacoast shall be dwelling, and the cottage for the shepherds, and folds for the flock. The only place you're going to be able to dwell is by the seashore. Everything else I'm burning up. I'm destroying. And the coast shall be the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereon. The houses of Ashkelon shall they lie down in the evening. For Yah their Elohim shall visit them and turn away their captivity. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people. They have blasphemed against my people and magnified themselves against their border. We can take it. We can take Israel. This is what the Most High is saying. Now, I'm going to destroy Israel because they weren't doing what I told them to do, but also I'm going to destroy the nations around them because they got bold and thought that they could come against my people. Therefore, as I live, saith Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah. You don't know nobody today that says they're from Sodom and Gomorrah. Ain't never heard no person, no race of people say, yeah, we are descendants from Sodom and Gomorrah. Most I says, that's what I'm going to do to these nations, okay? Even the breeding of nettles and the salt pits and a perpetual desolation, the residue of my people shall spoil them. The remnant of his people, the residue are those righteous ones. Because the Most High is coming against all wickedness, both in Israel and in the nations around. This is what he did in the past. And the remnant of my people shall possess them. This shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached or blasphemed and magnified themselves against the people of Yah's host. So the world who came against Israel and the people of the Most High, the righteous see the remnant of Israel, those who survived. The Most High said, I will give you those nations. He's still going to do that in the end times. Everybody that held Israel as a slave and then called upon the name of, quote unquote, the Lord, called upon the name of Yeshua, Jesus, and said they belonged to him, but they held his people in unrighteousness. They treated us unfairly. He says that Israel will possess them because you cannot come against anything that belongs to the Most High, even if he's punishing them. You can't, the world can't come against them without receiving the wrath of the Most High, especially if they become puffed up in doing it. This shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached, blasphemed, and magnified themselves against the people of Yahweh. Yah will be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth, all the Elohims of the earth, every religion on this earth. The Most High is going to do away with. If it's not worshiping him, not following his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, it is a religion of man, made up. And I'm going to do away with all that. And men shall worship him, everyone from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. So he's switching now to future prophetic. All of the nations are going, I'm going to destroy their gods. And they will only worship me. Even the heathen. That's why he says, I'm going to take out of the heathen, out of the Gentile nations, a people for myself, for my name. You Ethiopians also, you shall be slain by the sword. He will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria and will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness. And the flock shall lie down in the midst of her, all the beasts of the nation, both the comrade and the bitten, or the bitter, shall lodge in the upper lintels of it. The voice shall sing in the window. Desolation shall be in the threshold, for he shall uncover the cedar work, the fine engraven works of them, what they do. Everything about them will be torn down, okay? This is the rejoicing city that dwelleth carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How is she become a desolation, a place for the beast to lie down, and everyone that passes by her shall hiss and wag his hand? So those nations and those cities that thought that they were something of the heathens, the Most High says, I'm going to bring them low to desolation. And they're going to be wild beasts dwelling there in those cities. Woe unto her, Zephaniah chapter 3. Woe unto her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city, She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. Now, the city itself, it's not the city, but it's the people that are in those cities, and we have to understand that. So the Most High saying, I'm coming against it all. But it's really because of the people and what they're doing. She received not correction. She trusted not in Yah. She drew not near to her Elohim. And it has to tell you that this is Jerusalem. Because the cities of the nations, the Most High has never claimed to be their Elohim, even though he dealt with them. But Jerusalem, the place of the Most High's seat, the people didn't draw close to him. They continued to want to do their own thing or be like the world. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are even wolves. They gnaw not the bone till the marrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. Everything about the Most High, they have violated. His own people. The just Yah is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning does he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust know not shame. The Most High every day sends a signal to repent some type of way, through somebody, by some act in nature, by the wars of men. Every day, people are thinking that these are just natural acts, but they're really the Most High calling people to repentance. And people don't want to stop because they're not ashamed of what they're doing. They take pride in it and think that it's okay. I have cut off the nation. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none pass by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabited. I said, surely thou wilt fear me. That's the problem. People don't fear the Most High. So when this day comes, when the day comes in the future, everything that's happening, they're going to say, oh, that's climate warming, it's climate change, it's this, it's that, it's everything but Yah. But these things are happening, all these events are going to happen to bring people to fear him, but they won't fear him. Why? Because they truly don't believe in him. They say they do. Because if they truly believe and they studied him, learned of him, they would know that he don't play. He don't play. Surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so that their dwelling should not be cut off. However, I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. No matter how I punish them, how I try to correct them, they still get up and do what? Wicked things. Because they don't believe. Therefore, wait you upon me, saith Yah, until the day that I rise up to the prey. He's not going to rise up and be prey. He's going to rise up and be the hunter. He's rising up to the prey. You become the prey. Now I'm going to start hunting you. For my determination is to gather the nation, that I may assemble the kingdom, to pour upon them my indignation, my hatred, my anger, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. They tell you that the world is going to be destroyed by fire. So the Most High is going back and forth. I'm going to do this to all the nations. And I'm going to destroy them by fire. I'm going to be doing things to cause them to come to call them to repentance. But I believe it's in the book of Revelation. He says, but for all that, they would not repent. They would not turn to him. The world, the nation. So for all the earth shall be devoured with fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of Yah, to serve him with one consent. The whole world has to come to the place where it's worshiping only Yah. With one heart, with one desire, and the way that he says to worship him, not the way that they want to worship him. From beyond the rivers of the Ethiopia, my supper, even the daughters of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. What is he saying? One of the problems, I don't care who the people are, they say that they belong to the Most High. They become haughty. They become puffed up. They become proud. We the people of the book. We are the original Hebrews. And they do things that they ought not do in his name. He says, I'm going to take that away. I'm going to take away your pride. I'm going to take away that you rejoice and that you belong to me, because I don't like pride. I hate pride. I hate people who are puffed up. And I'm going to do it because of my holy mountain, my place of rest. I don't want you claiming that you know me and being around me, and you're acting this way. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of Yah. If you are proud and puffed up, the Most High don't want you, because you don't count on him. You're counting on your own strength. You're counting on your own riches. You're counting on something else other than him. So he says, I'm going to take a poor and afflicted people. They will count on me. They will call on my name. They will trust in my name. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. Now, underline that, the remnant, the remainder, because the rebellious ones in Israel, the Most High is going to get rid of. And there's going to be a remainder, a remnant. That remnant shall follow him with their whole heart. Shall not do iniquity. This not do iniquity, they shall not break his law, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his ordinances. They're going to keep it, nor speak lies. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. Feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. They are sure of Yah, and they rely on him. They call upon his name. They trust in his name. He will keep us. He will deliver us. Why? Because we are faithful to him. Not all Israel. It's the remnant of Israel. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Yah has taken away thy judgment. He has cast out thine enemies. The king of Israel, even Yah, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. Future tense. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be flecked. Yah thy Elohim is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will say, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will rest. I'm going to stop now. My wrath is over. And what I have left, I love. He will joy over thee with singing. Can you imagine the Most High hearing a song by the Most High, him sing a song, or have the angels sing a song. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, those that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach, the blasphemy of it was a burden. The blasphemy, the willful disobedience of the children of Israel, the willful disobedience of mankind. They were angry at it. They were sorry that men acted that way, that men disrespected the Most High that way. When I say men, mankind, both Jew and Greek alike, both Jew and Gentile alike. They did not like that. They were sorrowful for it. And they carried that burden. Why, Yah? Why do they not believe you? Why don't they keep your commandments? Why don't they learn your ways and learn to love you? None of this would be going on if they would just do what you said to do. That's a burden. Because there's nothing really that they can do about it, but they repent. But you can't control men and what they do. So these people carry that. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflicted thee, and I will save her that halted, that stopped, and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. But see, you can't be, it's not about you being put to shame for doing wickedness. It's about you being put to shame for doing righteousness, for obeying him, keeping his statutes, his laws, and commandments. Oh, you think you're holier than thou. You ain't up under them laws. We don't have to do that stuff. That kind of shame. Yah not coming back, he ain't gonna do nothing. It's been going on for thousands of years. But when you have truly repented and you truly understand the Most High and you learn to fear him, then people will say you're a hypocrite. Because nobody's perfect. You're going to find a flaw somewhere. But Yah says don't be caught up in that flaw, and don't, if that flaw is sin, don't be doing it willfully. If you know it's sin, stop. Turn away from it. Don't continue to do it. Especially you know it's sin, because I will not treat you nicely for that. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and praise among all people of the earth. This is his people. And to tell you the truth, this is both Jew and Gentile. In every land, those that fear him and work righteousness. This is who this is. This is who he makes Israel. The Most High don't care about the bloodline. He cares about those who will obey him. And if you are Israel, then I have a place for you. I made a promise to you. And I'm going to keep my promise to you. If you're a Gentile, then I also made a promise to the Gentiles. Those that fear me and that work righteousness. Turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith Yah. So the Most High is going to turn Israel's captivity. He's going to gather Israel. And he's going to make Israel a name that's feared among the nations. And the nation shall praise Israel. Why? Because the Elohim of Israel dwells with them, with us. He will be doing for us. We won't have to worry about what the nations are doing. Yah is in control of them. So when he comes, he's going to pour out his wrath on the wicked, on the unrighteous, the unlawful, Now, how is this day going to come? Can we look at the scriptures and predict Yah is going to come on this day? He's going to come in this hour? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's get verse 2. Now, Messiah told us, well, we start in verse 1. Messiah told us what to look for. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly. If you've been following Messiah, if you've been reading the scriptures, the prophecy, that the day of Yah so cometh as a thief in the night. No thief in the night is going to broadcast when he's coming. Or you'll be waiting for him. You know what? Somebody told me Brother So-and-so was going to break into my house at 12:30 tonight. Surely you're not going to go to sleep and let this brother break in on you. You're going to be waiting on him. So if he's going to do it, he's not going to broadcast. And most of us says, I'm not broadcasting the day and hour and the minute that I'm coming. You're going to be relaxed. And I'm going to come like a thief in the night. And see, Messiah said it will be as the days of Noah. People will be going about their lives as, you know, there's nothing happening. They will shall be marrying and giving in marriage. They shall be doing everything that they normally do. And then suddenly destruction. And if you go back and you look at Noah, Noah never warned the people that a flood was coming. He never warned them. What he preached to them was to keep the laws of the Most High. Gave them a chance to repent. He taught righteousness. He preached righteousness. He preached the law until the day that he was shut into the ark. But he never told them. They ridiculed him for you know, building the ark until Yah shut them in. And then that judgment came. He said, that's how it's going to be, just as it was in the days of Noah. So you have to always be ready. If you're doing right and you're doing what you're supposed to be, that day can come as a thief in the night because you're ready for it. And it won't catch you unaware, because you will see the signs and you will believe them. You won't know the exact time, but you'll be ready. Verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travaileth upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So this day is going to come when people think that Yah is not coming. It's peace. There's safety in the earth. Nobody is fighting. Some type of accord is going to be reached. When you see that accord being reached, that should be a sign to you. When you hear men talking about, we are safe, we don't have to worry about this country or that country coming against us, all the nations have agreed to peace and safety. It is just a ruse. It's a disguise so that the Antichrist can come when people don't expect it. They feel like they're safe, destruction. Second Peter, chapter 3. The book of Second Peter, chapter 3. So this day is going to come suddenly. It's going to come without warning. Those that are in the world are not going to be prepared for it. If you are walking in Yah and you are living according to his ways, then he'll let you see the signs, because you're not going to see the world the same way as the world sees the world. Let's start at verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Yah is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Because, see, we try to put on the Most High the way that we are. But he is long-suffering to us, word, or toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of Yah will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Boom! The heavens passing away is the atmosphere leaving this planet. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The rock, iron, silver, gold, aluminum, you, me, shall melt with a fervent heat. If Yah don't protect you, if Yah don't change you, that's why he says you have to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You have to become like him. If you are caught not changed, not transformed, this heat will affect you. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So when Messiah descends from heaven with the shout of the archangel, he says, and the dead shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The lives shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. If you get caught and you haven't been changed, you're going to burn up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? If you believe this, what kind of person do you think you should be? Should you be a wicked person? Or should you be holy? What manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of Elohim, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. What kind of person do you think you want to be? Do you think you want to be one of those ones that Yah selects, and you are changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye? Because if you are left in this natural state, you're in trouble. The earth is going to be changed. The earth is going to be redone. And if you are not changed, you will not live on this new earth, the new heavens and the new earth. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, not unrighteousness, not iniquity, not every man doing what they think is right in their own mind. We'll be looking for a planet that is righteous, that is lawful, that follows the laws of Elohim. Go to Isaiah. Chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. Your only job in all this is to become right with the Most High. Isaiah 34, starting in verse 1. Come near, you nations, to hear and hearken, listen and understand, heed it. You people, let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it, listen and hear and hearken. For the indignation of Yah is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountain shall be melted with their blood. Now think about that. How much blood do you have to have to melt and dissolve a mountain? It's a lot of dead. And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved. I'm going to redo this whole heaven and this whole earth. And the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falls from the vine, as the falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and all the people of my curse, to judgment. The sword of Yah is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, with the blood of lambs and goats, and with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For Yah has sacrificed in Bozrah. A great slaughter is in the land of Idumea. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullock with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of Yah's vengeance and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, that's like tar, and the dust thereof into brimstone, melted. Brimstone is like rocks on fire. And the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it, and he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. They shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there. And all her princes shall be nothing. And the thorns shall come up in her place, nettles and brambles, in the fortress thereof. And it shall be a habitation of dragons, lizards, snakes, and those types of things. And a court of owls. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the land. And the satyr shall cry to his fellow. The screech owl also shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. There shall be great there shall the great owl make her nest and lay and hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also gather, everyone with her own mate. So the Most High is saying, I'm going to turn this place into a wilderness. Seek you out the book of Yah and read. The people don't want to read the book of Yah. They want somebody to tell them what's in it. Seek you out the book of Yah and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth has commanded, and his spirit it has gathered them. And he has cast a lot of them, and his hand has divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. So the Most High says, I'm going to, what they are going to inherit when he comes with his wrath, the nation, is fire, tar. I'm going to change this into like a hellhole, a wilderness, but, excuse me, the animals will be able to have it. But the men of those nations won't. Anger, his wrath upon the world. And when he finishes it, and he redoes, and he creates the new heavens and the new earth, and places the throne in Jerusalem, then the paradise that men are looking for is going to be in Jerusalem and around the Mediterranean Sea. But every place else is going to be dependent upon the will of the Most High, whether he will send the rains in their appointed time. You want to stay in that nation? Okay. Then every tabernacle, you got to come up and pay tribute and worship me. If not, I will not send rains upon your land. And then after the great battle of Armageddon, when he destroys all flesh, then, and everybody puts on eternity, then the paradise that men are looking for, that will start at Jerusalem, and a river will come out of his throne and start to revitalize the earth. Go to Revelation chapter 20. What time is it? 10:40? Okay. Yeah. Go to Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to start there because this is what's coming. We're looking for Antichrist. We're looking for this time of great sorrow. We're not looking for it to come. We don't want it to come. But Yah says it's going to come. Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 1. Now, pay attention to this, because I've put out false doctrine concerning these things. Everybody's not going to get a throne. Everybody will get a crown, but that crown does not necessarily give you authority. You might receive the crown of life, eternal life in the kingdom. But that doesn't mean that you sit on a throne. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he held hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So people ain't going to be able to say, the devil made me do it. The devil tempted me. The devil came down and whispered in my ear. They won't be able to say that because he's bound. He can't influence people. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, finished. And after that, he must be loosed a little season to do what he was made to do. The devil is made to show what is in you. You can't be tempted by nothing that is not in you. You can't be deceived if you're not looking to do something honorable or dishonorable. Let me say that right. You can't be deceived if you're not looking to do something that is dishonorable. Like to get over on somebody, to cheat somebody, or you want something for nothing. Because you can be deceived when you want things that aren't true. You get tricked. That's what he does. But when you want to do things right and you want to do things honorable, you can't be deceived. Nah, that ain't right right there. No, I don't want nothing to do with that. Okay? So he's going to be loose for a little season after the 1,000 years are fulfilled. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. The thrones are for the people who make it through the tribulation. No, let me change that. The thrones are for the people who go through the tribulation And they don't take the mark of the beast. They don't love their own life, try to save their life. The thrones are for people who suffered like Messiah suffered and gave their life for the word of Elohim and for the witness of Messiah. So read this very carefully. And I saw the thrones and they that sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. For what reason? For the witness of Yeshua. And for the word of Elohim. And which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Mashiach 1,000 years. They suffered like he suffered. They didn't just show up to church or to the camp and attend. They gave their life. They were killed for the word of Elohim or for the witness of Messiah. Or they were killed because they didn't follow Antichrist. They lived and reigned 1,000 years. Those are the thrones. And those are the them that sat upon the thrones. It's not just 24 thrones here. Even though there are 24 thrones in the heavens. Earth, there are more thrones than that. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. See, the Most High, if he don't wake you for the first resurrection, don't mean that you're not going to get into the kingdom. You just didn't qualify to rule with him. You're still going to get your crown of life according to your work. Let's read it. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. These people aren't subject to the lake of fire. They aren't subject to this other judgment. They've already proven themselves. But they shall be priests of Elohim and of Mashiach and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. To do what? And he shall go out to deceive the nations that are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. Because these are people who've been living up under the rulership of Messiah for 1,000 years. And he rules them with a rod of iron. And everybody that rules with him rules with a rod of iron. And guess what? They ain't happy. They're not happy. Let's read it. To gather them together to battle. Who are they going to battle? And why are they coming to battle? And how was Satan able to deceive them? He was able to deceive them because they weren't happy. They thought there was a better way. They thought they could take over. The number of whom is as the sand of the sea. If you can count the sands of the sea and all the oceans, on every beach, under the water, this is a number you can't conceive of. They've been under Messiah's rule for 1,000 years. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed around the camps of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from Elohim out of heaven and devoured them. So they allowed Satan to deceive them because of what was in them. You can take the kingdom. Ain't but a few of them. You can do it. And because they weren't happy, they bought that mess. And then the Most High says, I got something for them. I'll just burn them all up. You've been under my rulership for 1,000 years, and it's still in you to rebel? I'll just burn you up. Fire came down from Elohim and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. This fire, the lake of fire, was designed for Satan and his angels. But when you rebel against the Most High, when you choose to live unrighteously, you are a messenger of Satan. There's only two sides, the Most High side and Satan's side. There is no in-between. You are either wholly righteous to the Most High, or you are on the devil's side. So this fire was designed for Satan and his angels. Okay? And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. Who's the them here? I'm going to tell you. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim. No place for the dead was found. Everybody is resurrected, good, bad. Those that didn't make the first resurrection, those that lived during the reign of Messiah, that rebelled against him, everybody is resurrected. And they come before the throne of the Most High from the beginning of time to that time. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. So the book are the books of our work. Everything that we do is being written down. And we are judged according to our work. What is written? And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their work. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Everybody is resurrected. And they were judged, every man, according to their work. Now, this verse you got to pay attention to. And death and hell, I just resurrected everybody. Everybody. Anybody that was dead, I resurrected. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The first form of death is done away with. That physical death, because everybody is resurrected. Now I'm going to do away with that physical death. And I'm going to do away with the holding cell, hell, the grave. Now all of you are eternal. Every single one of you, good and bad. You're eternal. You can't die. I just did away with that system. And I have instituted a second death, a second form of death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. The lake of fire is designed for spiritual beings. Excuse me. Spiritual beings to die. The Most High gave everybody eternal life. He got rid of death. He got rid of the grave. Because now you all are eternal. Now, if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, get in the lake. He says, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth forever. And people don't fear him. They don't understand the consequences of their actions. They think that the Most High is weak. They take him for boo-boo the fool. You can just do whatever you want to do, and I'm just going to forgive you forever. He said, that's not me. I've appointed a day in which I will judge the world. You just read of that day. And I'm going to cast everybody who is not written in my book of life, who was disobedient to me, who did not ever repent, I'm going to throw you into the lake of fire forever. And everybody who survives, who's in the kingdom, will have to come and look at you once every new moon and on the Sabbath. We don't want to end up there. Go to Isaiah 66. The book of Isaiah chapter 66. And let's drop down to verse 2. Isaiah 66, starting in verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith Yah, so shall your seed remain before me. Now he's making a promise to Israel. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yah. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of those men that have transgressed against me. They're looking upon them in the lake of fire. For their worm shall not die, neither shall the fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. You don't want to mess up after this, because there's no death, there's no hell. If you transgress, guess what? You go straight to the lake. Forever. Most High said those times are over. This is the second death. This is a new kingdom. There ain't no death here. There ain't no starvation. There ain't no illness. All those things are done away with. So if you are disobedient to the Most High in that kingdom, you go straight to the lake. He don't take away your choice. But you got to love him and fear him. And that has to become you. Because you know him and you know his ways. I was merciful. And I was kind. And I was long-suffering. I gave you all a chance. Now in my new kingdom, I'm going to rule it with a rod of iron. I'm not going to be lenient like I was. Everything in heaven and the earth will obey me. That's when we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as it in earth as it is in heaven. Everything, that's the end result. Everything's going to obey him. And if you don't, straight to the lake. Everything in his kingdom is eternal. Everything in his kingdom would be subject to the lake of fire and being able to be hurt by it. Because it's designed for that. But his day that he's going to come and judge the earth, that he's going to take out his wrath, that's going to come like a thief in the night. So you and I, the only thing that we are responsible for is obeying the Most High and learning of his ways and doing it. Don't worship him with your lips and your heart is far from him. Because you're going to do what's in your heart. You're going to say one thing and do another. Worship him from your heart. And worship him the way that he says to worship him. And not the way that you think you ought to worship him. Don't add to or take away from. Do exactly what he says. Because when we don't, we get in trouble. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. For this is the whole duty of man. Just remember those two things. Fear him and keep his commandments. This is your duty. The whole duty of mankind. He didn't say just Israel. The whole duty of man. If you remember that and do it, you should come out on the good side of this. If you fail in doing that, understand, you will come out on the wrong side. Shalom, family, and enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.
Without you, there's no need. Long brother and sister. Long family. Happy Sabbath.
Long family.
Shalom. Everyone. Happy Sabbath.
Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll send out a message if I'm going to teach this evening. I'm not quite sure yet.
Okay.
All right, amen.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too.